Okay, so I want to share with you, it's a combination. This is like Parshas Vayelech a little bit, and Yom Kippur also, since it's the last Chabura, I guess, until Bereishis, because next week is Yom Kippur, and the following week is Chol HaMoed. So it's, I guess, a blend of a couple different things. So let's start with it's a pasuk that we probably have all said many times, Shuba Yisrael Hashem Elokecha Ki Chashalta B'Avonecha. For those that don't know, the pasuk is from Hosea. So Hosea says, this is his declaration to the Jewish people to do tshuva. Shuva Yisrael, Jewish people do tshuva ad Hashem Elokecha, to God, ki chashalta ba'avonecha, because you have chaf shin lamed, you have stumbled ba'avonecha with your sins. So here is an interesting question that comes up on this pasuk that Rav Amital points out. Kashalta seems to be, it's an accident, right? Like, I'm walking on the street and I slip, that's nechshol. But avonecha, avon, is like, that's like a sin that I do intentionally. So the question that Rav Amital wants to understand is, how do you say, Shuvah Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalta b'avonecha? Is it that it was an accident, but then the sin is wrong? Or was it intentional, and then the verb chashal is not the right one? So that's the first question I want to try to understand tonight. Before, or this afternoon. But before we do that, before we answer that, let's take a look at Devarim Lamed Aleph. So, Vayelach Moshe Vayelaber to Devarim Ela El Kol Yisrael. So Moshe goes and he says all these things to the Jewish people. Now, when does this happen? Anybody know? This pasuk, Parshas Vayelach, happens on what day? The last day of Moshe's life, right? So Moshe goes and he tells all these things to the Jewish people. Vayomer aleihem, he says them, b'me'aveshim shana nuchi ayom, v'uchal od laseif lavo, I'm 120 years old, I can no longer go out and come, v'ashem amar ilai lo tavor et ha'yardein hazeh, and God has said to me that I can't cross over the Jordan. So if you take a look at Rashi says, v'uchal od laseif lavo, yachol shetashash kocho. You might think that the reason he can no longer go is because he was weak. He's 120 years old and he's old and tired and no longer has his strength. Talmud Lomar, but we know that the pasuk tells us in Zota Bracha lo kahata ino, that Moshe had not lost even one bit of his vitality and he had all the strength. In fact, he climbs up, the Medrash says, Har Nevo in just a few steps. So if he's able to do that, clearly he was not one that was weak. So he says that I no longer have permission to lead because the permission to lead has been handed over to Yahushua. Okay, so Moshe goes and he tells all of these things to the Jewish people. So what does that mean? Vayelech Moshe, where did he go? What? Where was he that he went? Normally, if Moshe was going to speak for the Jewish people, what would he do? Either would say Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, or what would Moshe do if he wanted to speak to all the Jewish people? What would be a verb that we would use to describe Moshe speaking to the entire Jewish people?
Vayidaber.
So right. So either it's Vayidaber, but we have a Vayidaber. But if Moshe wants to get all the Jewish people, how does he get all the Jewish people? So Vayakel Moshe. Moshe brings everyone together. So what's Vayelech Moshe? What does it mean, Vayelech Moshe? So let's take a look at the Abarbanel. So the Abarbanel says like as follows. He says, Kvar katafti bagdamat zeh sefer, sh'ad kan sifra Torah, masha diber Moshe l'Yisrael. That he says, in my introduction to Devarim, I said that until now, until Vayelech, is Moshe telling the Jewish people the Torah. Then Vayelech and onward is after he finishes recounting the Torah. After Nitzavim, when all the people agree to be part of the covenant with the Jewish with God, what happens? Everybody goes home. But Moshe wanted to say goodbye to them.
Arambam,
El machne yisal kadam harotze lalechet min ha'ir el makom acher olech leveit chaveiro lipater mimenu birishuta uliot chavivetzlo. He says it's like if I'm looking to leave my city, before I leave my city, I'm going to say my farewells and my goodbyes. How do I do that? I go from my house to my friend's house, and then I exit. Moshe Rabbeinu was doing the same thing. He wanted to say goodbye to the Jewish people. How do you say goodbye to the Jewish people? He walks out and goes from one shevet to another to say goodbye to them. Now, if that's the case, what is it conceivably possible that Moshe does while he goes to each shevet? Right? If Moshe's leaving his place, and this is his last time going to see the Jewish people, what might he do along the way?
I saw saying goodbye, giving them chizuk.
Okay.
It'll be okay.
So he's going to do he's going to do all that. But what else might he do on top of that?
A snack?
He's going to give them their bracha, right? Which, that's a game changer. If that's the case, then the brachos of each shevet was not given with all the Jewish people together, but rather when Moshe Rabbeinu went to shevet, Dan, so he gave them their bracha. The only question would then be, did he go visit Shimon and not give them a bracha, or did he not visit Shimon at all? I don't know the answer to that question. So that's what the Bayronel says. V'halach b'frat eitzel kol shevet v'shevet lo diam shu meit. He wanted them to know he's going to die, ulifater mehem, and he's going to leave them. Lavato otam, that he loves them. V'zeu amru v'yelech Moshe v'yedaber to the v'me'elel kol Yisrael. And that's why it says v'yelech Moshe. Moshe's going from one place to the other, sharing that with them. V'lo yachzor kol Yisrael bilvad l'nyan advarim ki im shalach kol Yisrael machne l'machne v'yedaber lehem et sham et v'me'elel. And he never actually sees all the Jewish people again in one sham. That's the Avar Benel. All right, do we like that? Are we good with that? It's a nice pshat. Okay, anybody have any other suggestions as to why it says Vayelech Moshe? So I'll share with you the explanation of Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch has a beautiful answer. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu is Ha'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble of all people. And so for Moshe Rabbeinu, the idea of having this big stage and this big goodbye party is inconceivable. That's not how he wants to end, and it would not be consistent with his life's mission and his personality for that to be the way he says goodbye. So what does he do? Moshe Rabbeinu just goes on a walk, so to speak, like a Shabbos walk from one place to the other to say goodbye to people. Rather than having a big celebration, a big ceremony, and a big farewell. It's an interesting explanation that Rav Hirsch has, which I think really speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu at his heart. So Vayelech Moshe, it seems so humble that Moshe just goes, he tells him all these things. I'm 120. I'm no longer going to be able to do this. I'm retiring. That's Rav Hirsch. So Pasuk Gimel. Hashem lokachu over lefanecha uyashmir the goyim ha'elo milfanecha v'yushtam Yoshua who over lefanecha kasher divrei Hashem. God is going to go with you. He's going to destroy all your enemies. And Yoshua, he's going to go with you also, just like God spoke. Which is amazing because the thrust of Moshe's speech, much like Rav Hirsch says, has nothing to do with him. He's not reflecting upon, this is what the last 40 years have been, and this is what my accolades and all my accomplishments have been, but rather he's turning to them and saying, let's reflect forward. What's it going to be? God will be with you. And if you're nervous, right, that my absence is going to make a difference, you have nothing to worry about because God is with you. And you have a new leader, you have Yoshua. And he says, I want you to know that you have my promise, or you have God's promise rather, that he's going to do what he did the same way he destroyed Sichon and Og. He's going to destroy all the nations that you're coming on. And God is going to put them before you, and you'll do like that to them, just as you're commanded. Meaning you'll wipe them out. So he says, don't be chazak v'ematz, be strong, you have nothing to be worried about. Lo yarpecha v'liyazveka. Rifui yadayim is to have it slip out of your hands. It means that you're not holding tight. God is not going to let go. He's going to have you strong and hold on to you. Everything is going to be good. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rabbi Lam has a beautiful article on Parshas Hazinu, which I think actually ties into these psukim well. I thought I was actually reading an article on Parshas Vayelech until I looked at the tab and saw that it was Hazinu. But he says, we always think, what's the last mitzvah in the Torah? It's to write, Ksiva Sefer Torah, Hakel, those are the last mitzvahs in the Torah. But he actually says that the last mitzvah in the Torah is to die. It's a little weird. What does that mean exactly? So he says that I think Rabbi Lam gave the drasha in the 60s or the 70s, that particular drasha. And he talks about how it was in fashion at the time to give classes in college, on college campuses, about death and how to accept death and how to deal with death and how to greet death. So he says actually the last mitzvah in the Torah is the idea of dying, how to die. And so Moshe's psukim here from Vayelech till the end of Zos HaBracha really gives us a window into how a person wants to die. But before we get to that, let's take a look at the last source. So it's a Gemara that I'm sure we've done it at one point or another. But if you were in the main shul 4 years ago, apparently in the book it's written that it was the drasha. So if you were in the main shul and you heard it, I apologize. I don't think this is the main shul crowd. So here we go. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Yitzayin Amin Aleph. So Amar Alav Rabbi Elazar ben Dur Dai. So they tell the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dur Dai. Shelo hiniach zona achat ba'olam shelo ba'aleha. Pam achat. Shelo ba'aleha. So Rabbi Elazar ben Dur Dai had a life mission. His life mission was to find every prostitute on the planet and to sleep with her. So pam achat shamat sheyesh zona achat bekrachei hayam. So one time he heard that there was a zona who lived across many seas. Vaitano telet kis dinarin bischara, and he took a pouch full of money to pay her. And natal kis dinarin halach vavar la shiva narot. So he crossed over seven rivers to get to her. Bishat hergel hadavar he ficha. So at the time that they were together, she passed gas. And Amra, Kishem Shehaificha Zu, Einacho Zerlim Koma, Kach Elazar ben Dur Dai, Ein Mekablam Oto B'tshuva. So she said to him, just as the gas that I passed will never go back to its place, so too Elazar ben Dur Dai will never be able to come back to his original place, and that was the place of being close to God. His tshuva will never be accepted. Any questions on this Gemara before we continue with it?
No, it's lovely.
Yeah. When my brother was in 12th grade, he actually made a siyum on Avodah Zarah. So he asked me to speak at the siyum. And I was like, the only Gemara in Avodah Zarah I know is this one. And I'm not really sure how exactly I can tie this into your 12th grade graduation. I'm hopeful that these are not things that you've done. All right, so you look like you might have unmuted yourself.
No, Zish, not a very good business moment.
But why?
Chasing away her customers. She just cursed them. That's a curse.
Well, the question is, did she get paid or not yet, I guess, right?
Well, that was a little more tactless to say, but yeah.
Right, I mean, if she got paid, then it doesn't matter. She could say whatever she wants, right? His mission is only to find each one only one time, so he's going to be in search of the next one and the next one.
What was his end game?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. Like, I'm not really sure. So I think that that's a question that nobody really asks when they learn this Gemara. Meaning, I think we typically think that Elazar ben Dourdai is just this, like, morally debased person. Like, he's just so far gone. But if he really is, then why would her Musarvart resonate? And also, like, what was she thinking? Like, yes, Srili, your point is a good one, that she's not... It's not good for business. But what did she think? Like, did she think he was going to accept that? Be like, oh my God, you know what? I've spent the last 20 years of my life searching the world high and low, taking boats to the far-flung corners of the planet to sleep with different prostitutes. And all of a sudden, she says this and he's like, wow. That's a game changer. He's like, I'm going to do tshuva.
Well, it must be, because he got recorded. Nobody knew about this conversation. Clearly, he got repeated somewhere and made it all the way back into the Gemara.
Right. So I guess that's the end of the story, because the Gemara then continues, Halach v'yashav ben shnei harim u'gvot. He sits between the mountains and the valleys. And Amar, harim u'gvot, big shu alai rachman. He says, mountains and valleys, I beg you, ask mercy for me. So Abu Lo. We can't ask for rachamim for you because we need rachamim for ourselves, because God says in Yeshaya ki arim yamushu vagvot mutenu amar shamay va'aret. Right? So he says, I cut off early. He says because the mountains know that at the end of days, what's going to happen? The mountains and the valleys are going to disappear. So they say, we have to worry about ourselves. We're not wasting our tefillos on you. So Amar Shemayim Va'aretz Bakshu Alei Rachamim. So he turns to the heavens and the earth and says, maybe you guys can daven for me. So Amar Shemayim Va'akshem Alecha Nevakesh Al Tzmeinu. We have the same problem. Shemar Ki Shemayim Kasha Nimluchu Va'aretz Kebeged Tivleh. So he says, they say, we know that Yeshaya promises at the end of the days what's going to happen to us. The sky and the land are also going to have their own problems. So we can't waste our tefillos on you. So Amar Chama Levana Bikshu Alei Rachman. So he turns to the sun and the moon and says, you daven for me. So Amar Lo, Ad Shanu Vakshim Alecha Nevakesh Al Atzmeinu. We have to daven for ourselves. Shnemar V'chafra Levana Vosha Chama Amar. Right, so what's going to happen? In the end of days, Yeshaya says that the moon and the sun will be embarrassed. So Amar Kochavim Azalo Bikshu Alei Rachamim. So he turns to the stars and the constellations and says, maybe you could daven for me. So Amar Lo Atchanu Mevakshem Alecha Nevakesh Al Atzmeinu Shenemar V'nimaku Kol Tzva Shamayim Asher Ein Davar V'nimaku Kol Tzva Shamayim. They said that all the hosts of heaven are going to be destroyed. So Amar, what does he say? Ein Hadavar Talui Ela Bi. He realizes that everything is dependent upon him. Heniach rosho bein birkav v'ga'a. He puts his head between his legs, and he cries bebechia ad sheyatzta nishmato, until his neshama leaves him. Yatzta bakol v'amra Reb Elazar ben Dourdai mezuman chayei ha'olam haba. And when he dies, a bat kol comes out of the heavens and says, Reb Elazar, not Elazar ben Dourdai, but Rabbi Elazar. He's become, he got smicha in this last moment of his life. Is mizuman l'chaye olam haba. He's going straight to olam haba. So clearly, she got it. She understood, the zone understood, that there was something about Elazar ben Dourdai, that he was not just someone who was completely wrapped up in his passions. There was some possibility of redemption in him. So what exactly is going on here? It's a very, very, very strange Gemara. So Rav Amital, how did this get recorded? It's good. I guess someone heard the Baskol. And maybe they went backwards after the Baskol. David has like his like vintage smile on, I think. Of when it's like he's just not buying the whole thing, right?
Well, he was a rabbi at the beginning of it, actually.
Well, because they call him that.
Yeah.
Well, right. So this whole Gemara is in the context of this Gemara is they're talking about people that did tshuva. But it's possible, honestly, that if you accept of Amital's explanation of the Gemara, which I do believe makes sense, that maybe he was a Rav at the beginning. Although she doesn't refer to him that way. She refers to him as Elazar ben Dordai, right? That's what she says in the fourth line. That the same way what I did is not coming back, same with him. But also, I mean, I guess there's another question that we have to ask is there really a point where you're beyond tshuva? And I think that's a critical question that this Gemara begs. Because she says you can't do tshuva, but he does do tshuva, and he's accepted into Olam Haba. So is she...
She was just goading him.
Oh, okay. So she was like the Rebbe in Yeshiva that turned...
She's not Navi.
Probably not. I mean, she's
not recorded as being one of the Navi.
She's definitely... Well, this is after Nevuah anyway, because we're in Bayit Sheni. Well along the way towards the Chorban. So what's the deal with this Gemara? So Rav Amital has an amazing explanation. He says, what was Elazar ben Dordai's end game? What was he trying to do? Did he really believe? Meaning, was he just so hedonistic? That it just was, I need to fulfill my passions and my taivos that I'm going to keep searching? Or is it possible that there's a different explanation? So this is what Rav Amital suggests. He says, maybe Elazar ben Dordai wanted to enjoy the entire world. That was his goal. He was going to get every pleasure out of this world. And then once he was done with that, he was going to move on to something else. What could that something else possibly be? Perhaps that something else was Torah, spirituality, something like that. His goal was, though, first to enjoy all of life's pleasures and then to find something else to pursue afterwards. So what she knew this because she understood, what kind of sick person would be traveling over and over and over and over again just in search of the next and the next and the next. It doesn't make sense. She understood that that's what he was looking for. But she says to him, you don't get it. If your plan is to find every possible passion to fulfill in life, you're never going to be fully satisfied. And you'll never be able to move on from that. And therefore, you'll never get on to your next mission of trying to find something a little bit more meaningful in life. So what's his response? He's frozen. He hears what she says and he realizes there is no shot. I have no chance. She promised me that Ein Mekam Lo Tov B'Tshuva. He said, I can't do it. So what does he do? He searches out nature and says, mountains, valleys, sky, sun, moon, all of nature. Can't you be my emissary? What he was saying is, I can't do it, but maybe someone else can do it for me. So you know what ends up happening? In the end, he realizes that the only person that could fix it is himself. But Rav Amital says so beautifully that the Elazar ben Dordai, who found the first Zona, who then went looking for everyone after that, when he found the first Zona, he was a very different sinner than he was in the end. Not after he does tshuva. And he says, that's pshat in the pasuk that we started with. What does the pasuk say? Shuva yisad Hashem lokech lechi chashalta b'avonecha. When we do tshuva, you know what ends up happening to us? God looks at all of our averos from the perspective of the first time we did it. Generally, and probably in Elazar ben Dordai's case, the first avera he did, it was a stumble. He probably didn't mean to head down this path in life. But as time goes on and it snowballs more and more, so then we become a hardcore sinner. God makes the promise to us that if we do tshuva, what's going to happen to us is he's going to view our sins from the perspective of how they started. And it's a lot easier to wipe our slate clean when you look at it as ki chashalta v'avonecha, as stumblers upon sin, than as hardcore sinners. I want to share with you a story I heard on the second night of Rosh Hashanah from one of the people that speak in shul between Mincha Ma'ariv here in Mishkan Shiloh. He went to KBY, maybe it's really around your time. His name is Zevi, but I can't remember his last name, so I don't know. And he stayed in the Hilton when he was there. So this is his story. He says that there was a UPS driver, and the UPS driver was supposed to deliver a package to some apartment in the city. And he gets there, and it's the 52nd floor of this building. He hits the button to get up in the elevator, and he gets off the elevator on the 52nd floor, and he smells smoke coming from the apartment building that the door that he's supposed to deliver the package to. He knocks and knocks and knocks on the door. There's no answer. So he goes next door and he knocks on their door and says, "There's a fire next door. Come, you got to help me out." So I'm sure they called 911, and he gets a blanket from them and he knocks the door down. And when he walks into the house, he sees that there is a young child all alone on the floor, passed out from the smoke. So he wraps the child in the blanket and takes the kid out of the apartment. And the kid gets into the ambulance shortly thereafter and goes to the hospital. And for days, the man wonders what happened to this kid from the 52nd floor. So a few weeks later, as chance would have it, he has to deliver another package to this building. So he goes to deliver the package to this building, and when he gets into the building, he sees the doorman, and he says to the doorman, "By chance, do you know what happened to the kid in the from the 52nd floor?" So the doorman said, "He's doing better. He's still in the hospital, but it's going to be a long recovery. But the doctors are confident that because of what you did, he's going to be okay. He's going to live, and everything's going to be okay." So amazing. He's so happy to hear this. So he said, "But listen, the parents asked me to give you a message if you came to deliver another package. They said, if you deliver another package, can you please tell them that they would like to thank you in person? They're at the hospital, this and this hospital, this and this address, this and this room. You can go there." The UPS guy is overjoyed. The kid is okay. So later that day, he goes to the hospital to visit the family, and he gets treated like a celebrity. So the father pulls him aside and says, "Listen, you saved my kid's life. I want you to know that I am very well off. And over the last couple of years, as I've been doing better and better and better, in my head, I always wondered, God forbid, if my kid was kidnapped, what would I be able to pay as a ransom of my child? And I figure I can pay up to $5 million for my child. Thank God my kid wasn't kidnapped, but my kid was saved, and it's all because of you. So I'm giving you a blank check, and I want you to fill out the check with whatever number you want, up to $5 million. So the UPS guy looks at him and says, "I wasn't coming here for a gift. I wasn't coming here for a thank you. I was coming here just to see that your son was okay. I'm relieved to see that. I don't need to take anything. Not only that, I'm a single guy. I work for UPS. UPS takes plenty good care of me. I have a nice pension. I don't need any money. I'm not taking anything." And the father pushes and pushes and pushes. And the guy, you know, says, "I'm not doing it. I'm not interested. I don't need anything." So finally, the kid pipes up and says, "Listen, do my father a favor. He'll feel better if you take something. Take something as a thank you." So at this point, I stomped my kids on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. I said, "What do you think he took?" So one of my kids said, "He probably wrote $1. This way he's Yotzei, and the guy could leave him alone." So he still refuses to take anything. But he turns to the kid, and he says to the kid, "Listen, I'm happy that I did what I did. The greatest payment you could give me is live a life that was worth my saving it. Make your life something that's meaningful." And I thought when I heard that story that it really ties together both Vayelech and Rabbi Elazar ben Dur Dai. There are two ways to live life. You could live life like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, from start to finish, his life is one of perfection, just about. And at the very end, true to his character, Vayelech Moshe goes away in a very humble way without fanfare. He just says, "That's it, goodbye. You guys are great." That's one way. And that's from start to finish of a meaningful life. But not every one of us can say that our script is as clean and as good as that. But Elazar ben Dordai provides the exact opposite script. There is the possibility that a person could live their entire life in a way that's antithetical to Torah values, but at the very end, they can come full circle and come back to a genuine Torah life. And perhaps that's what Rabbi Lam means when he says the last mitzvah in the Torah is how to die. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us that it's not how you start, but it's how you end. The Jewish way is that yes, you can start off strong, and that's wonderful, but you have to end off strong. Amital shows us in this Gemara that Elazar ben Dordai, he did not start off strong. In fact, he not only stumbled out of the gate, he fell completely out of the gate. And yet, what ends up happening is, Elazar ben Dordai reminds us that there is the possibility that even if we have a very complicated life for a year, if we decide wholeheartedly that we want to make it a life worth living, then we certainly can. God willing, God should give us the strength as we are headed towards Yom Kippur to make those right decisions so that Vayelech Moshe, hopefully, that we're on that path the entire time. But if not, if we stepped off that path, God willing, like Elazar ben Dordai, we recognize that the only one that has the ability to make those changes and those decisions are ourselves. And God willing, we should make those decisions properly so that Shuvah Yisrael Hashem Elkecha Ki Chashalta Be'avonecha.